Who helped you with your teaching
tonight? Mom or dad?
Mom.
Mom. Is she in here? Did you guys know what the teaching was tonight?
No.
Thank you. When you guys hear the teaching tonight, you put these two together, you're going to say, these are the same teaching. What are the odds? Our Lord and our Savior is inside this room. And His Father is inside this room. And your teaching is the same as my teaching. Why? Because it's not your teaching, it's not my teaching. The teacher is in the room. And if you are a believer, if you are saved, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and confess and believe that God raised Him from the dead, He died for your sins, you are my Lord. And you can't just say, is He your Lord? Well, yes, He's my Lord. Show me some fruit. I don't have to show you fruit. Yes, you do. You can't take stuff out of context. All right, somebody say, perfect love have no remembrance. Or what is that phrase? Anybody know that? Love has no remembrance. You guys ever heard that? It's a phrase taken out of context saying, perfect love has no remembrance of wrong, has no remembrance of wrong, or there is no wrong with perfect love, right? Unless you're the Christian Credit Union. Oh, no! Did they check your credit? When there's somebody come in and say, Christian Credit Union, they took something out of context. You can't take anything out of context. This whole book here is a span of approximately 6,000 years. If somebody takes something right here and... absent from the body is present from the Lord. Okay, so that was written, what, by 90 A.D.? What did Abraham tell his son when Sarah died? He didn't say absent from the body is present from the Lord. That didn't exist. What would Abraham have quoted? Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. That's what the word. You can't take something out of context. We got to go, it's got to fit the whole timeline. The same way with any kind of the Constitution, with the Declaration of Independence, you're going to say, no, you have to understand the concept. You're going to say, this is the manual of our life. And our fathers explain everything we need to know right here. And so if somebody, you know, that doesn't make sense. Otherwise, if somebody could just cherry pick out of this book, you can go, okay. You say, can I play devil's advocate? And this person goes, unconditional love, this new age doctrine. It doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. And you go, wait a minute, I thought Jesus Christ said the word repent. Do you know what repent means? Knock it off! Unconditional love. Jesus Christ did not know how to unconditionally love people because He said, repent, repent, stop it, turn around. Well, that's not... you're going to say, okay, here's the idea. But if somebody's going to cherry pick out of the word, you can say, can I play devil's advocate? They go, what does that mean? They say, I'm not going to, this is not what I believe, but I'm going to beat you at your own game. Okay, so they cherry pick, take one scripture, and you're going to go, okay, we're going to study about Jesus Christ in the book of Job. That's all I'm going to use is the book of Job. Have you guys ever read the book of Job? It's very confusing. But you don't reconcile all the rest of the 65 books, or that canon, to one book, do you? You don't do the same thing to the Gospel of John. Today's church, all they read is the Gospel of John. They reconcile the whole book. They don't even read it to that right there. Aha! The real war we have is this war. If we could zoom in on this. I love this. This is a Catholic statue. This is the real war. Now, we know through scriptures, what do angels or messengers look like?
We don't know.
Big men.
We sure do. They looked like men. Did they look like women? There's only one account of a messenger looking like a woman. Anybody know the book?
Zechariah.
Is it Zechariah or is it Zephaniah? I think it's Zephaniah. And in that one account, they had hair like women. They didn't say they had lipstick on. And they had wings like storks. So what do they look like? So, but into the Catholic artists... you can see why they put wings on. How do you know this is an angel? Well, the artists were trying to communicate. This is an angel doing what to this other angel? Crushing his head. The adversary hates this statue. Do you know why? The truth hurts. You know what's going to happen to the adversary's head? It's going to be crushed. But not under an angel's heel. Do you know whose heel is going to be crushed under?
Whose heel?
It also says somebody else's heel. You guys ever read that in Romans? It says, you are my heel. He's under our foot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he doesn't say he's under foot. I watched the movies he makes. It says he's this big, gigantic Elohim God that nobody could fight him. Yeah, so what else did the liar tell you? He probably told you he had good credit, too. Well, you know what? I can check his credit. He's got bad credit. I don't care what he says. Do a credit report. That's the idea. So it says that Satan's head will soon be crushed under your and my foot. Why? Who am I? You are the temple of the living God. 4,000 years ago, or before Jesus Christ, before Yehoshua Mashiach, Jews would go to the temple to try to meet where Yahweh dwelt. There was a tent of meetings. This is where the creator of the universe, there's like a conduit. If you want to go meet him, you got to go to Jerusalem. And you'll go get to meet the creator of all this. You want to meet him? You can imagine the other Jews, they're going, hey, who is your God? You're going to say, the one that created all that, that's who I'm going to go meet in Jerusalem. So that's what do you think the Jews were excited to go back to Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Yes. And when David got to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, what did the Ark of the Covenant, what happened with the Ark of the Covenant? Who met above it? That's where Yahweh showed up. That's like Facebook. Would a little five-year-old get real excited every time it saw somebody's iPhone? If it saw its mom on that iPhone? This is where we meet! I love the iPhone! Oh, wonderful iPhone. The iPhone, the FaceTime, or the Skype that Yahweh did for his kids was right above the Ark of the Covenant. Here I am! Hey kids! Love ya! Knock that off. So that's where they go and meet. So when David, when they brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, what did David do before it? He danced. He danced. This is my God. He sees my heart. He sees the inside. Do you guys ever mess up, even though your intentions were right? He sees your heart, guys. Isn't that nice to know? If your motives are right, he sees you on your heart. You're going to go, man, David danced before it. But now, if King David could get teleported, a time traveling machine, and he sat here and he saw what you are getting ready to do, do what he would do in front of you?
Dance.
He would dance. Why? Because now you are the conduit. You are the Facebook. You are, he can meet with you here. He doesn't even have to go to a box. And do you think King David, who is a king of faith, guy killed a 10.5-foot giant. He was a kid. Do you think he liked faith? Oh, man. Do you think he understood faith? Absolutely. And then King David goes, man, so my flesh tells me faith is dumb. My flesh says if my brain doesn't understand it, it doesn't make sense. My faith says that Einstein was brilliant. Where's Einstein now, guys?
Dust.
He's dirt. Not too brilliant. Not that smart. We can learn from him. But the idea is that David would understood faith. And when David goes, come here, Esther. Come here. King David comes in and he says, okay, it's been 3,000 or 4,000 years. What's going on? What's so different about this place, America, this time you live on? Here's King David. Did he like faith?
Yes.
He absolutely loved faith. We say, King David. If we knew who he really was, we'd get down on our hands and our knees before him. Why? Because he was Yahweh's chosen one. And throughout all his ministry, Yahweh only says he did one thing wrong, whether it's Uriah the Hittite. So if David walked in here, can you imagine? Here comes King David. What would the angels do? The angels would be like, this is the one. Just like they did Hail Mary. And they say, King David, you want to see something really cool? He'd say, yes, I would. And I'd say, King David, you want to see something that's incredible? You might think, cut a giant's head off. This is what would get King David. Why don't you open with a word of prayer and give a prophecy? Okay?
Thank you for this great day again, and thank you for this great teaching you've given us, and thank you for this great night. And thank God for you have a great day tomorrow too. Amen.
And do it once you speak in tongues and then tell us what you just said.
Okay. God Kamanka. My chosen be stand up and tall and be brave and bold. Like you were meant to be like I was. Stand up bold, don't be weak, stand up bold like you were meant to be.
Amen. Melania? Amen.
My children, walk in my ways, walk in my footsteps, for I am great. And through my son, to me, you can also be great. I will make you great if you just walk in my footsteps, walk in my word, hear my word, and I will make you great through my son. Amen.
Isaiah?
It's easy to open the book. Almost anyone can open a book,
but not everyone can open their heart. You can open the book easy, but you when open almost everyone in the whole world can open a book, but almost none of them can open their heart. Amen.
Elijah.
Yana Sanukon Yanyon Shana Sanako Marina Tibina Nako Shan Swinyan Nakonyan Manukonya Shan Sanukonya Panika Nushu Nuku San San Sayana Shunisiko Yanakoi.
My children, sometimes you think you're so great and so powerful because you just did this thing. Amazing. You forget who's right next to you, who's watching you and not keeping his eyes off you. And you must not jump around and say you're so great, but look right next to you and praise Yah, tell other people and praise Yahweh. And tell other people about him so they can follow you and walk with Yahweh. Amen.
Okay, kids, we're going to do another thing. When I point at you, I want you to speak in tongues. When I take my gun off you, stop, okay?
I'm not going to turn the pen on.
Okay, ready?
San Kuan Yan Yan.
How do you guys just speak in language you didn't learn? And you stopped, and you stopped, just like this. You turned it on, turned it off. Is that incredible? It's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. And King David would be like, this is where he lives? Perfect! I love it! Yahweh lives here? Oh, I love it, I love it! How old are you?
Six.
6 years old. He goes, oh, I love it! And he would dance before Esther Scott, and you know what happened?
What?
King David would say, you're going to eat with me for the rest of your life. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And then King David would come to you, and he'd say, "Will you go play with your go play?" And then when King David, if he did not have the Ruach Kodesh, if he did not have Holy Spirit, and he's sitting there, and he's going, "Do I go to war? I've advised you to say go to war. These other guys say don't go to war, but King David had a heart after Yahweh's heart. People are going to die. There's going to be widows. There's going to be bad things that are going to happen if he's wrong. Who would King David go to? There's only one that knows the future. It doesn't matter what happens." And then King David would say, thank you for your counsel. Wise men seek counsel. Now I'm going to go meet with him who knows the future. And it'll be like this. Esther?
Yeah?
Can I come in?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the king. How you doing?
Good.
Okay. I want you to tell me what's going on in my heart. I'm bringing something to Yahweh, and you're going to tell me what it is. Now you give me a prophecy.
Be bold, my children, and stand up and do what you're supposed to be, and be stronger and do what I made you for.
Hallelujah. Amen. Good job, kids. Okay. All right. You're dismissed to your corners, anyways. My living props are done. Amen. Amen. What makes our religion different than anything else? You can go to a kid who knows the future. Or even better than that, if we are a believer, if we are saved, the same Spirit, it says, the same Spirit that was in Samuel or Samuel is in her. The same Spirit of faith that was in Gideon is in her. The same Spirit of faith that broke down the walls of Jericho because it was by faith that they fell is in him. The same Spirit of faith that split the Red Sea is in her. The same Spirit of faith that washed away all the Egyptians when they thought that Yahweh would save them also is in him. The same Spirit of faith that woke Jesus Christ up after 3 days and three nights. He was dead. His body was decomposing. And when he had fulfilled the Levitical law, awake. And he woke up. That same Spirit is in me. That same Spirit is in you. And what makes all of this journey so powerful is if you humble yourself and say, I really want to hear from you. It doesn't matter what we do. We show up. We're looking nice. If your heart is not circumcised, you don't get anything. Can you imagine going to King David if we understood that concept right there? If she knew that King David was that crazy about her, he goes, "Why don't you come up here? I got some toys." What if she showed up like this? That's all you're going to get. Are you serious? Give it to her. And then Melania shows up with 6 wheelbarrows. He goes, "Give it to her." That's what we got to do with our Father. Just give it to us. But He will confirm what we hear a message. You'll hear a message and He'll say, "That's for you." Or you'll hear a prophecy and He's inside testifying going, "Listen, who was that?" It's the same Spirit. It's inside all of us. We are one body. One body knit together. We are connected like an internet. And we can connect and our Father can wake us up and say, "Get up! Speak, for your servant is listening. Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send?"
Me.
Wait a minute. What are you asking? I don't want to put my shoes back on. He didn't say, "Hey, I go, here's what I'm going to do. Does anybody want to show up?" That's not how the Creator of the universe talks. He goes, "Whom shall I send?" Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." And just as the coal was taken and put on His lips so He could speak perfectly, so was the same coal put inside your mouth and in your mouth and in my mouth. Well, how does that work? Did Isaiah need this?
No.
He needed to move his mouth and the words would be there. Then when Isaiah moved, guess what happened? Everything else took care of itself. Everything reconciled to the Creator of the universe. If people only believe, He's in the room, He's in your mouth. Now speak. And the same thing happens with us. "Well, I don't feel saved." Speak. Open your mouth. Do what He says to do, and He'll meet you on the other side. He's in the room. Thank you, Father, for the words we're about to hear. Now we're going to hear from the adults. We thank you. Anybody like to go ahead and prophesy or interpret? Please do.
Itzur mitiano kosapero man marakatas kerendiano arabia fendia sapera patiano. O coach minianda. Blessed and beloved children, my arms are continually about you, as well as the fact that I continually feed you with my word. I expect you to receive this word with hearts wide open and speak my word. No, yea, shout my word to the nations. Have no fear and be not ashamed of my gospel, for it is what has brought you thus far.
My children, know that I do not want to see you gain scales upon your eyes or upon your ears. But realize that a sound is transferred by waves and your body picks that up and interprets it. That I will also speak my words to you, that you will interpret those as you have peeled away these things and you have made yourself humble before me. Peel away these things and knock off the scales. Do not let this day or this age wear you down or encumber you, but strip off these things that I may be able to speak to you, that I may be able to pierce through to you and give you enjoyment and enlightenment and courage for all the things that I have for you, that I may be able to fellowship with you. And as I do these things, that I will speak to you my desires and my purposes with you and be able to give you the direction I am calling you to go.
You know, my children, I've built you for battle. I've built you for war. But as a warrior, you must stay in shape and know your weapons. So read my words freely so that you know the powers that you do have. Know that you know the weapons that you do have and know that the battles that you're about to conquer.
Just as Peter asked to walk out on water, I am waiting for you. There's so many questions and dreams inside you, and you are waiting, and you think to yourself that these are unanswered prayers, and you feel like you're trying not to give up hope. You're waiting there going, golly. And you're thinking to yourself that you won't give up on me. But I want you to know that I am waiting on you. You feel like you're waiting on me, but my scriptures, the love letter that I sent you, said, meet me at this place. And if there was a couple, a man and a woman pursuing each other, and that the man wrote a letter, a love letter to that woman, and says, meet me at this place and do this, and show up with your red dress and shoes that we can go on a walk in the field. She would read those things and understand what she needed to do to be in part of that relationship. I have wrote to each and every one of you. It is a love letter to you. And I've told you where to go and what to do. So if you do these things, you'll find out that many of your questions, many of these empty plates that you have, these empty rooms and dreams that are not full, they're easily filled when you walk out in faith and meet me. There are many rooms in your life, and you look at an empty room. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's success. Maybe it's finances. And you're looking, going, man, it's just I just don't understand. I'm investing money, and it's not there. I want you to know I am waiting in that empty room for you to step in there with me. And when you step in there, the water will hold us. And that is how faith works. So meet me in these rooms and do your part, and we will have wonderful blessings together. Thank you, Father, for all these words. Through Christ Jesus. Amen. The prophecy is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39. Tongues and tongues of interpretation. All the teachings are through Telios Ministries. Telios Ministries. What is the objective of Telios Ministries? To receive money? No. To receive likes on Facebook? No. To get pats on the back? No. Is this a website for people who have itching ears and want new doctrines to make them feel better? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. In fact, if you just want somebody to tell you what you want to hear, you probably don't want to go here. The truth will make you free. And all of us, every single one of us, with the exception of Jesus Christ or Yehoshua Mashiach, have chains in our life. And only the truth will unlock those things. And so Telios Ministries' objective is to be becoming perfect. Becoming perfect, it is not something you end up doing. It's something you work at every single day. Israel's prophecy is, you have to exercise. Have you ever known somebody who goes, that's it, this resolution, I'm exercising, that's it. 10 months later, man, the doctor says my life is shortened again. Did you exercise? Well, I'm going to do it this year. And anybody who exercises less goes, just get started. Make a commitment. Do a little one. And guess what happens? It starts working. So this is for exercising. We are all running a race in a way in which to win. We should be. In this life is this short. Jesus Christ could come back tonight. And our race is over. Wait a minute. I had so many things I was going to do for you. I told you that the buzzer, there is no clock. You can't be watching a clock to say when the boss is coming back. The boss says, this is undercover boss. I'm going to show up and everybody's got to go. You're going to go. So if you're doing something you're not doing, or if you've never invested in these 401ks, it's okay, you're still saved, but you suffer some loss. But for those who are going, boss could show up anytime today, I want to be... If Jesus Christ showed up today, I'm sure he'd be very tickled pink because we're studying him and his Father. Tell us the ministries. Okay, so if we would start off, like some readers, the book called Matthew, page 3. Page 3, the Gospel called Matthew. Chapter 4.
What verse?
I'll tell you once you get to the chapter.
Matthew 3.
Page 3.
What's the chapter?
Chapter 4. This is Yehoshua beginning his ministry. What is Matthew's perspective? Anyone?
I don't know.
It's the king. In the gospel called Matthew, this is the Mashiach, Yehoshua, fulfilling all the prophecies that he will be the king. What is Mark?
Man.
Him fulfilling all the prophecies that he would be a man. Luke? He's fulfilling all the prophecies that he's the servant. John, the anointed, or the son of Elohim. He was in. If my father is a tomato, what does that make me?
Tomato.
A tomato. If my father is a baboon, what does that make me?
A baboon.
If my father is a donkey, what does that make me? Don't answer that. If your father is a god, what does that make you?
A god.
Blasphemy! Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John said, or not in the Gospel called John, he said, my father, my father, my father. You say your father's God. Kill him! He's saying he's a God. He's going, did you read the book? Who's the father of Adam and Eve? Jesus Christ wasn't saying that I'm Yahweh. He's saying, I'm the son of Elohim. They go, prove it. He goes, just look what I do. I do only do what my father does. And our father, like with Adam and Eve, if Yehoshua would have broke his father's will, He would have broke fellowship and the power would have been gone. The ministry would have been over. He didn't. Because did the power ever stop? No, it sure did not. And it's still going today. The family business. Would somebody please read chapter 4, verse 17 through 20. Melania, why don't you read that? You're an excellent reader.
From that time began Yahushua to be making proclamation and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of the heavens hath drawn near." And walking out beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon, who is calling Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a large fishing net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway, leaving the nets, followed him.
Notice when he walked up, when he began his ministry, he didn't say, "Yahweh is unconditional love. He'll never love you more or love you less." Well, how did he start his ministry? Repent! Knock it off! If you see somebody say, "Yahweh is unconditional love," tell them to repent. That's not what it says. How can you save somebody? What fellowship does light have with darkness? If somebody's living in darkness and somebody says, "It doesn't matter what you do, Yahweh loves you," that doctrine is keeping Yahweh from his kids. How would you feel if your child was off and they broke fellowship and somebody's saying that they had fellowship? No. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent. But Peter and his brother Andrew were fishing actually with their father. And it does say a large net. What are they doing?
Fishing.
They're fishing. Working. That's right. Thank you. They're paying bills, baby. They got a mortgage. They got credit card debt or whatever. They got kids to feed. We know Peter, he's got a mother-in-law. He's probably got a mother. I mean a wife, not a mother. Probably had a mother too. Whoa, 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 whoa. Anyways, they had families, they had bills, they had needs. Do you have a work? Do you have a job? If you're a kid, you better. It's called school. Cleaning your room. Do you have a job? Yeah. Do I have a job? Yeah. And my job is usually using this. And this, get your butt out of bed, Aaron. Sometimes I want to sleep and hit snooze, and all of a sudden the proverb comes back. A son who sleeps during harvest time is a disgrace for you. What is that? I was like, my father's watching me. Ah! Sometimes I don't want somebody to know I'm sleeping in. And I'm like, oh man, I'm going to act like I'm not sleeping. Hey, what's up? And they're like, oh, he's lying. Yeah, I'm sleeping. And why am I even trying to paint him? Anyways, he had a job, he had business, and what did Jesus Christ say to do?
Follow me.
Follow me. What did they do? Why did Yahweh write? They left their nets. If you're a carpenter, and you left your toolbox and your carpenter's belt. If you're a hunter, and you left all your hunting equipment, would that get people's attention?
Yeah.
If you're a truck driver and you drop your car keys, you walk away from your 18-wheeler, what does that mean? Did they follow? Wow, what a beginning of Peter and Andrew, his brother. Matthew chapter 6, just turn to page 5. I was going to read all this. Yeah, I think it would be good to read it because this is really good. Actually, Matthew chapter 6, we're going to apply this to Peter's life, okay? Why was Peter working? He had bills. You know what happened to me within the last couple days? I don't know if I had enough time to do a teaching tonight. I got bills. I got some things going on here. I got to return some phone calls. Don't affect my credit. And then Yahweh goes, "Whose credit are you really worried about?" I go, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Can you make it quick? Ah! He goes, "Would you rather have good credit with my credit agency or with Visa?" Because there's going to be times you're going to say, "Don't call them back." Aaron, who writes the checks? Oh, you write the checks. Then do what I say. Yes, sir. And that's what. Anyways, Matthew chapter 6. If Mom, would you read 1 through 33? Or if you stop, you can just tag somebody else.
"But take heed that you do not your righteousness before men be gazed at by them. Otherwise, peace, reward have ye none with your Father who is in the heavens. When therefore thou mayest be doing an alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be glorified by men. Verily, I say unto you, they are getting back their reward. But thou, when doing an alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, who seeth in secret, will give it back to thee. And when ye may be praying, ye shall not be as the hypocrites, because they love in the synagogue and at the corners of the broadways to take their stand and pray that they may shine before men. Verily, I say unto you, they are getting back their reward. But thou, when thou wouldest pray, enter into thy closet, and fastening thy door, pray unto thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father, who seeth in secret, will reward thee. And being at prayer, use not vain repetitions, just like the nations. For they think that in their much speaking they shall be heard. Do not therefore make yourselves like them. For Yahweh your Father knoweth of what things ye have need before ye ask him. Thus therefore pray ye, Our Father who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Come, may thy kingdom, accomplished be thy will, as in heaven also on earth. Our needful bread give us this day, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For if ye forgive men their faults, your Father who is in the heavens will forgive even you. But if ye forgive not men their faults, neither will your Father forgive your faults. And when ye may be fasting, become not ye as the hypocrites of sullen countenance. For they darken their looks, that they may appear unto men to be fasting. Verily I say unto you, they are getting back their reward. But when thou art fasting, anoint thy head and thy face wash, that thou do not appear unto men to be fasting, but to thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret will reward thee. Be not laying up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust do tarnish, and where thieves dig through and steal. But laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth tarnish, and where thieves dig not through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart also, will be thy heart also.
What's real important is it says, be not anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. It also says, he sees in secret. Isn't that real important? Him who sees in secret. What are we doing in secret? Actually, the secret acts of obedience are probably the biggest blessing to him. Can you imagine that? A little kid, I've got a nanny cam here. And the father doesn't tell him about the camera, but he goes, I love you, but I just want you to know that I do keep an eye over you. And here's the father at work watching a nanny cam, and here goes the kid, he's getting ready to get tempted. Is he human? Yeah, he's going to be tempted. Is he going to fall? Yeah, everybody does. All of us do. And then the kid gets ready to take some food. He starts looking around, see if anybody's looking. Takes some candy out of there, then all of a sudden he stops. And he shakes his head and he walks off. Do you think his father would be really happy when he saw him overcoming temptation? How much more is our father? He says he knows what we want, right? Before we even ask. But what does it say next? Be seeking, be asking. You have desires in your heart. Are you asking for them? Ask! Be knocking. Be seeking, be asking every day. I haven't given up because you don't give up. Ha ha! Then it says Mark 11:23-24. Be asking like you already got it. Don't be a whiny brat. Here I am waiting on you again. Acting like he's not in the room. You're going to pout if you don't get your way? Really? Really? Romans says in Romans 8, him who spared not his only son, he had died for you. Have you watched The Passion of the Christ? How much does he love you? He loves you. So if you've asked for something and it is good to fit the whole plan of your life, the whole novel of your life, it's coming. And don't start pouting once you don't get your way. We can't act like a 3 or 4 year old. How disappointing is that? Oh, you don't get your way? I had that with a kid. He came over for candy. I said, tell me your scriptures. He gave you that. Can I have another one? I said, no. He went, I went, really? Yeah, come back for scriptures tomorrow, buddy. You think I'm going to give him candy again? He didn't get his way, so I thought there might have been a little bit of a relationship here. Not, by the way, he did repent. I'm sorry. My brother pushed me down. It's okay, Daniel. Don't do it again, though.
Daniel again.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you, right? He sees in secret. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. We are commanded, don't be anxious. For nothing be anxious. Rejoice always. Is that easy? No. It's a battle you got to win every single day. And you're not going to win a serious battle if you don't put this and this into it, will you? If Elijah is going to try to wrestle me, and there was no supernatural involvement, which could happen, but he's going to wrestle me. Is it possible that he could beat me wrestling physically? It is. The odds are very unlikely. But if he didn't even put his heart or his mind to it, what are the odds then? It's not going to happen. They go to zero. But he could, right? The odds are there. If you're not putting your heart and your mind into your accomplishment the next day, is it going to happen? It's just very unlikely. So it's not happening. Get over it! Tomorrow. There's always tomorrow, right? We sin 7 times, we get back up. Faithful and just is he to forgive us. If we confess our sin and say, I blew it, I'm sorry. He goes, it's gone. I feel bad about it again. Now, Aaron, you're sinning. I am? I just did all this to repent, get my relationship back. And you did. But now you're looking back into the past and feeling as if I didn't forget it. It doesn't exist. You're sinning. You're looking at something that didn't happen. Well, it wasn't a malicious sin. You're right. It wasn't a malicious, but it's sin nonetheless. Get rid of it. Stop thinking about it. Get a rubber band. Pop yourself. Teach yourself. Quit thinking about it. Look into the future. What was Peter doing before Jehoshua came to him? He was taking care of his needs. What he eats, what he drinks, what he wears, where he goes. What was the objective of every Hebrew? To work for Yahweh. It's a personal relationship. Do you think Peter wanted to work for Yahweh? He was working for Yahweh. He just got called into another department. So did Andrew. So did these are the people that God called. Yahweh doesn't see. He sees the heart. So here's these people, and they go, who is the Messiah going to recruit if you're really the Messiah? Yahweh's not tricked by your clothing or curls in your hair or wailing on a wall. He looks in the heart. He took people who are already working for him. If you own a big business and you're successful, do you think Donald Trump promotes from the outside or from within? Do you think trust is important to that guy? Absolutely. Do you think father's any different? Do you think he's not smart? He promoted people that were already in his kingdom, that were already working for him. You got a promotion, Peter. Did it look like a promotion? No. Did it feel like a promotion? No. What do you think it felt like to everybody else? Were people weaker than Peter? Yes. Did they understand his calling?
No.
Did people understand your calling? No. Do you think Peter got distracted? He started looking at fishermen. He started looking at his bills. Do you think he's going on Facebook going, oh, man, I haven't gotten a bill. If I don't pay this bill by here and here. And Jesus Christ goes, hey, man, who pays your bills, buddy? I know, but now that I'm in the ministry, I'm just, Peter, who paid your bills before I came and met you? No, Peter, who wrote your checks? Yahweh did. Right. How are you not going to have your bills paid when you just got a promotion? He's going to pay. Oh, well, these people, Peter, what did I tell you? You told me to follow you. Okay. Do you think you're going to lose your house because you're being obedient to your boss? Or do you think you'll get another promotion? Oh, another promotion I would have brought, I would suppose. That's right. Absolutely. Did Peter have to wrestle each day about these things? Absolutely. So do we. Every day. But who do you work for? Who do you work for? And it says, be seeking first. And then the neat thing is, verse 32 says, for all these things the nations seek. Not just the nations, The difference between us and the nations, from us and the Muslims, the unbelievers, the people who say they created themselves, they call themselves evolutionists. Yes, we created ourselves over millions of years. We just kept adding on, and we got better and better and better and better. Who's your granddaddy? The monkey? Come on, man. Who's your granddaddy? Who's your nearest relative? I don't like the way you put that. I'm not a monkey. What do those people worry about? Their clothes, their house, their money, and stuff like that, okay? What makes us any different? Do we worry about those things? Yes, we do. The difference is, verse 33, we get those things met when? Be seeking first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yahweh, through His Son, just told him. He sees your heart. He knows what you want, Elijah. Did you know that? Yes. And your job is no smaller than mine. Actually, your job is probably bigger than mine. And people who look at kids who are the temple of the living God and they think that they don't expect much, they're fools. They should expect more. You guys are reading a 1901 little translation. They're adults that can't even read the NIV. It's so hard. It's so difficult. I don't understand it. Yeah, tell that to the six-year-old. Oh, man, I don't like it when you put it that way. You can do it. We can do this thing. But it says, seek ye first His kingdom, then you'll get these things. What do you want? If you're in a relationship, if you're married, if you're not going to a marriage counseling, you're a fool. A successful business once a year goes, what did we do good? Well, we did this. What did we do bad? Well, we did it. What do you propose for this next year? Okay, we make more, we spend less. How do we do that? Then they come together. What else are we going to do? Why do we lose so much over here? Well, to be honest with you, can I speak to you privately, boss? Yes, you can. Everybody else out. What's up? This guy's stealing. He's embezzling. What? Are you serious? Do you have proof? Yes, I do. He's fired, right? He's fired. Okay. This next year, we'll get rid of that guy. The next year. Let's get started. We get to do this each year. Marriages can do the same thing. Relationships can go, what do we need to work on? Man, we're just going to talk about what you want out of me, right? That's why we don't go to these things. Marriage counseling or business counseling doesn't work if you do that. Businesses don't run that way. A business says, what do you want? I want a raise. Okay. Will you work harder for it? Yeah. That means you'll make more stuff for my business. Yeah. Well, I want you to make more stuff. Well, how are we going to do it? Get an accountant in here. Get an engineer. How are we going to do this? And they sit down, they figure it out. Jesus Christ has a business with you, Melania. Did you know that? With you. He's got a business with all of us. Things aren't being done because all of us forget our boss. Come back, and what the problem is, the reason why a lot of us don't get started is because it says, be asking. Are you asking the desires of your heart in secret places? Ask them. Do you want a wife? I do. Do you want somebody who's going to abandon you? Wives, do not depart from your husbands. Yeah, but they don't do that anymore. If you bring it up, they get really mad. Do you want your own? I want you to pick out a wife. Okay. Well, how do you get her? Seek first my kingdom. That's how I'm going to get my wife. What do you want? What do you want? And you go to them and say, hey, I'm not asking. I am in rebellion and I'm not being obedient. It is not a malicious rebellion. It's an unintentional rebellion. But you told me you want me to ask what I really want. What I really want, I want peace. I want peace in my whole house. I want to know that the future is going to be okay. That's what I really, really, really want. And I can't think about anything more than that, but that's just what I want. And he goes, thank you for being obedient. Because Yahweh knew what they wanted. It's like a husband and a wife. The husband does not want to read the diary to find out what his wife wants. Golly! Can you imagine? Well, I gotta. How do you make your wife happy? Well, I gotta steal her diary, act like I didn't do it. I gotta dust all the fingerprints, and that's how I do it. Well, why don't you guys just talk? It's not that easy, is it? Relationships is tough. The toughest relationship is our own with Jesus Christ. Seek ye first His kingdom, then you'll get those things. You want a buck? Is it too late? What's possible?
Everything.
All things are possible. All things are possible to him who has faith. Do you have enough faith right now? No. Faith comes by hearing. What's possible? All things are possible by faith. Him who has faith. Do you have enough faith? No. Faith comes by hearing. You see, it's an infinity. Yeah. I can do this. I know I can. You know what happens? When you start addressing the things you want, you start getting motivated to get out of bed. I'm going to get my wife by teaching kids how to prophesy. Woo! Wait a minute, you're not chasing girls? I have those desires. You're not on Facebook. You're not doing it. I have desires. Well, how do you get it? I know what his scripture says. You want a business. You want a bill paid. How are you going to get that bill paid? Well, I got to put in 90 hours a week. What does it say here? He'll pay the bill. He's got a really big checking account. And that's how we do it. And what he did with Peter, and I'm using relationships because I'm at a point in my life that there are no relationships. I mean, like, outside my family and the body, so it's very easy to look at these things. I don't understand it. But anyways, but Peter was, we apply Peter to this. Peter says, I'll make you fishers of men. How are you going to pay my bills? Peter, I will meet all your needs. All your needs, Peter. Do what I say. And he started off fantastic. He left his nets. That's like me leaving my calculator. Say it ain't so. Hebrews 11, 2:31. Did Peter know about Abraham? Did he know about him? I think he knew a little about it, Abraham. Okay. Now we're going to see. This was just neat. Here's Isaiah's teaching. Congratulations, Shauna. You were walking by faith. Anybody can go teach the word. It's easy to open the book and go, this is what I feel. This is what I want. But to get a connection with Jesus Christ and say, I want to teach what you want to teach. That's not necessarily easy because you got to kind of clean some things up. You got to separate yourself. Shauna and Isaiah did it. And I'm you know how excited I am? That man, I got the sweet spot. I was doing it too. Oh, yeah. Because sometimes you do a teaching and he's like, that's not what I want to talk about. What does he want to talk about? He wants to talk about whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send?
Chapter and verse real quick.
Verse 8. Isaiah, would you read?
By faith he called Abraham obeyed to come forth unto the place he was destined to receive for an inheritance, and he came forth not well knowing whether he was coming.
Wait a minute. Abraham knew he was going to get his inheritance. How?
Okay.
Abraham went not knowing where he was going. Yahweh said, come on, Abraham. Where are we going? Can't tell you. Okay.
Get your backpack. Where are we going?
Where are we going? Here's Abraham and his wife. He has a wife. He's got an attractive wife. Does that make you a target back then? Yeah. Kill him, we get his wife. All right. We learned that a little bit later on. What happened in Egypt, right? Abraham. Hey, Sarah. Yeah, good news got bad news. What's the good news? We're finally moving. We won't be by those hillbillies anymore with the chickens in the front yard.
Yay!
Where are we going? Where are we going? Palm Beach? Beverly Hills? I know Denver. He goes, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? We're going to leave a walled city? Where are we going? We're going to follow Yahweh. Well, you told him we would go? Yeah. Where did he say we're going? He didn't say. But he's going that way. Pack your bags. Let's go. That's what Abraham did. And what did Abraham do that the father of our faith? This is seeking ye first the kingdom. Then all these will be added unto you. Abraham wanted a son from Sarah. What did he want more than anything else in the world? A son. Not from Hagar. From the woman he loved. His woman. Oh, man. He had a dream. He had a dream inside him and it wouldn't go away. Do you ever had a dream that hadn't come into fruition and you just wish, please go away. It hurts. It hasn't come true yet. And you want to go, I don't want that dream to go away. When I was at K-State and I decided to walk away from my athletic identity, I'm not a jock anymore. And actually, I was never really a jock. I was an imposter. I grew a false identity that wasn't me. And I became a closet Christian. Nobody even knew I was a believer. And when I was at K-State, I received an additional calling. saying, wake up. And I was upset nobody else was getting the same calling. Aaron, what are you doing? I'm doing what everybody else is doing, man. Those guys are Christians. Why are you talking to me, man? Come on. That's not you in a runoff. Like Bruce Almighty. Aaron. Oh! I lived in a house full of Christians. They weren't getting the same call. And he goes, go home. Peace. Peace. They got peace. All of a sudden I had peace. I had this peace. What is this? I haven't had peace in a long time. When you're living in sin, like I was, I never had peace. And that's why you had to be so busy. You have to be busy. And go home, I'll be okay. And what's neat about the whole thing, I went to CSSA, a campus Crusade for Christ. All these weirdos. Ladies, weirdos, pretty boys, they're not cool like me. Those were the arguments that I was having inside my head. They had something I wanted. They had peace. They shone light. I'd bought the lie. I'd been taking the sin, the lie, the wages of sin is death, and I was dying. A little bit. I wasn't on drugs or anything. Sin is death. If you're sinning, you're dying. And I went there, and this guy came up, and I look at his, in the back of my mind, I just knew I was supposed to be there. He looked like such a dork. Come on, can't anybody dress right if they're a Christian? Here's all these things going through my mind. Look at this guy. And he comes up there, and all of a sudden, as I'm thinking some of these things, I got a pop in the back of the head. Listen. And he did a teaching. And he said, Peter and Andrew left their nets. And then he went on some other stuff. And then with the rest of the stuff, and I didn't get the rest of that. For the rest of the next 15, 20 years, I never forgot that teaching. Ever. Did you know that? You know what that means? Who gave me that teaching?
The dork.
God. And do you know why I remember it? Because he's the one that gave it to me. Yeah. Have you ever had that? That thought that has never gone away? You go, oh, he was talking to me. I don't want to forget about it. He doesn't forget about it. He's in there. Do you have a brother?
Yeah.
Does he forget it when you didn't fulfill something? If you owe him money?
No.
No. Neither does Jesus Christ. I told you to pay the tab. Oh, I didn't hear you. You're still the one talking about you bailing out on the pizza, Aaron. Oh, I don't hear anything. I'm right here, buddy. Oh, you can ask me for more money. Oh, wherever you are out there, just give me some money for my bills. Aaron, you haven't paid it back yet. I don't know who you are, but you. Woo, you. That was me. For 30 years, for 20 years, they left their nets. And it was up until recently, I could never get away from that. Why didn't I forget that teaching? That was a teaching specifically for me. That was the teaching of Jesus Christ going, Peter, be following me. He's put a dream inside you, Elijah. He's not going to give up on his dream. And if we don't fulfill our calling, that is what you call a haunting, isn't it? If you're in a relationship and you promise somebody that you'd do something and you're withholding something from that person, is the relationship okay? No, it's not. And you know it. And every time they bring it up, oh, here we go again. Aaron talks too much. Here we are. Shut your mouth, Aaron. But it's the same thing. It's the same relationship. Jesus Christ has a dream inside, and he's not going to give up on his dream. It's his dream. Yahweh had a dream inside Abraham, and it wouldn't go away. It was about having a son through Sarah. Do you think Abraham wanted to get rid of that? No, but he, of course, if you've ever had dream big and it didn't come through, what you want to do is don't dream big anymore. You can't get hurt, right? Yeah. Never trust anybody ever again and you don't get hurt, right? And then your brain, the same flesh that talks you into sinning, goes, hey, if you don't trust people and you put a wall around your heart, you can't get hurt. Is that true? No. Yahweh says, be seeking, be asking, be knocking, go into your prayer closet, get on your hands and knees and bawl your brains out before him and tell him what you want. Whatever it is. And it could be the thing that is haunting you that does not go away. It's not even your dream. It's his dream. Does that remove a weight? Because it doesn't make sense if it's his dream or your dream, does it? I don't even want a monkey. Keep like, oh, why do I keep having these dreams about getting a monkey? I don't even want one. I don't want one. You wrestle with this thing. You're like, ah, get away. I don't want a monkey. This was me teaching Yahweh's word. I didn't want to teach the word either. It says you're held more accountable if you're teaching. Ah, I don't want to teach. But the deal was, it was his dream. And then when it turns out that thing that's inside you, Rachel, it's not even yours. Why doesn't it go away? It's not yours. Oh, that's why you can't get rid of it. Okay. So how do we fulfill this urge? Go get it. Really? Yeah. Well, how do I go get it? Seek ye first his kingdom. Yahweh wants a connection. Parents with their kids. Do sometimes parents keep strings attached? I know I do. Why?
If in
them. Because in some cases, does it benefit the child to keep strings attached?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Does it help the child to keep strings attached? My son believed he had a learning disability because the teacher told him. The lazy teacher says he doesn't know how to read. He's got a thing. What does that mean? It means that they didn't have to work on him anymore. Faith comes by hearing, so does doubt. I don't know how to read. We go to Colorado. You're going to be reading in Colorado. Oh, great, my dad, the Nazi. Oh, here we go, these standards. Everybody wants to hang on my dad. And then I go, good. I said, Kevin, when we're going camping, do you have to read? He said, yep. I said, no, you don't. He went, really? No reading. You don't have to read if you don't want to. Oh, okay,
you
great.
You have to read to use your tablet.
And I go, and then he brought out his tablet, and I go, his iPad. And I go, but you don't get your iPad. Well, why not? I said, this is family time. You don't get to plug in your computer. It's about family. He goes, but I really want to play. I said, I'll tell you, I'll make a deal. If you read two chapters of what Yahweh is telling you to eat, then you get that. And he wrestled with it. Dad, I don't know how to read. I have a learning disability. I'm sorry, buddy. But the scripture says you have the mind of Christ.
I don't know.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. But you have the mind of Christ. And if you really want your iPad, I'm not asking you to learn how to swim. There you go. You better learn how to use your mind of Christ. And guess what he did? He read 22 chapters of the Old Testament.
In the Rotherham.
In the Rotherham, 1901. How did he do that? He found something he really, really wanted. He wanted his iPad. What do you want? What do you want? He's got a dream in there. You don't even want it. Good. We identify what is the dream. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. Okay. The next question is, what do you want? Hello, Google. Okay, Google. Then the next question in the relationship is, okay, we know what he wants. What do you want? I feel so embarrassed. You're disobeying the scripture. What do you want? Permission to speak. I got reproved now. I have to run 30 minutes a day to talk about nothing but what I want because I was being disobedient. I thought I was pretty good. I don't sin. I don't vice. Aaron, when you come before me, whose standards? Did you read this book? Oh, here we go again. It's another. Do you guys know what compliance is?
Yeah.
Oh, you ever talked to compliance? Yikes.
No,
they live at a higher level. Aaron, Becky from Compliance Online, tell her to call her back. I got to think quick. She reads the book. Yahweh and Jesus Christ are compliance officers. And it's not an adversarial one. He's going, just do it.
Yeah.
Now here Abraham, he was destined to receive an inheritance. He knew he was going to receive his inheritance. How? By seeking first the kingdom. By being obedient to his boss. Mm-hmm. He was working for Yahweh before the calling. He was already working for him. He got a new job. Your boss at your business said, hey, Billy, how you doing? Come on. You're following me today. But what about my desk and stuff? He looks at you and he goes, it's my desk. Come on. Oh, it's his desk. Everybody goes, where's Billy going? You're like, oh, well, that guy. You guys figure it out. That's what Yahweh was doing with Jesus Christ with Peter. You guys figure it out. The boss just called me into the next room. I don't know what this means. Oh, can you imagine Peter? I owe some money on that boat. Well, I guess he's going to figure that one out too, isn't he? And he did. Abraham was going to have to produce faith to get what he wanted. Did that make sense to Abraham, that he was going to have to be called in some place he didn't know where he was going? Did that make sense to Abraham? Look at verse 6. Melania, read this with all your heart. Page 231. No, I'll read it. But apart from faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. Do you want to please your boss? Did Abraham want to please Yahweh? Yes. When his boss goes, come this way. Which direction is it? It's called faith. Ooh, that's his favorite thing. If Donald Trump called you up for his favorite thing, would you feel blessed? Yeah! Abraham knew this. Did Peter know this? Absolutely. Turn to the gospel called John. John 21. we might go over a little bit on time, but we'll just edit it out or whatever.
Chapter 21.
Chapter 21, the Gospel called John. Mom, would you read 21 verse? Melania, why don't you read 1 through 3?
After these things, Yahushua manifests himself again unto the disciples by the Sea of
Tiberias,
and manifested himself. Thus there were together Simon, Peter, Thomas, who was called
Didymus,
and
Nathanael,
who was from
Cana
of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They said unto him, We also go with thee. They went out and got into the boat, and during that night they caught nothing.
What did Simon do? Simon started using his other brain. I got bills to pay. I don't know what to do. Hey, I got to get back to work. What did Jesus Christ tell Simon Peter when he first called him? From now on, what are you going to be fishing?
Men.
Did that make sense? It made faith. And Peter resorted back to his man sense because it didn't make sense. This is where we are to strengthen one another. All of us are missing it in an area. And we are to strengthen one another. Where's Andrew? I don't know. He's not here, though. Peter's going to get reproved. And corrected. Repent, Peter. Repent. What? Peter, who paid your bills before I came and met you? Yahweh did. Right? Absolutely. Yahweh always meet. That's what he did with our fathers 40 years in the wilderness. What did he feed them? Manna every single day. Their shoes didn't wear out. Did he feed them? Yeah. Did he feed you before I met you? Yes. How is he going to feed you if you're rebelling against him? How am I rebelling, Lord? What did I tell you to do, Peter? Produce faith. He's calling all of us to produce faith. He's calling all of us to walk out in a direction we're not used to. Each day we should look at it and put a note, faith, what are you going to give him today? And work on something you don't want to give. Oh man, that doesn't sound good. Who's in the room? And he's in secret. Do you think he's blessed? Do you think that speeds up the process for you getting, seek ye first these kingdoms and all of these. It's a for-profit company with dividends, 401ks. Make money and invest in it, and I'm going to reward you. And there's promotions. Peter got a promotion, and he went fishing. He left. Jesus Christ comes to Peter after this, and he goes, Do you love me more than these? Why is Peter getting picked on? Well, at least in this instance, who was told you're going to fish after men from now on? Andrew and Peter. Is Andrew here? Not in the Scriptures. I don't know where Andrew is. Maybe if Andrew was there, he would have been reproved too. I don't know. Have you ever been picked on and everybody else is being left out? Hey! I'm just doing what everybody else is doing. That's what I was doing. Peter, what did I tell you? He's doing the same thing in all of our hearts. I'm just going this way. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? He lives inside of us. You told me that if I gave you what you want, that's how I get what I want. Exactly. What do I want, Aaron? I'm not sure. What is haunting you that won't go away? I know what it is. You want me to swing for the fence. You want me to make myself vulnerable. You want me to go do these things. That's right. And what happens is, give him what he wants, that's how you get what you want. If you want prosperity, you'll get prosperity. You want promotions, you'll get promotions. You want bucks, you'll get bucks. But if you don't give him the credit after he gives you a buck, guess what happens? He's right in the room. When you tell people, I'm brave, I'm smart, I got that thing, he's like, really, right in front of me? Yeah, see if I can help you on that next one. I've been there. I got pinned under the weights many, many times. Ah, I'm so smart. Oh, really, Aaron? You think I'm going to spot you on that one? I don't need no spot. Help! I repent! I can do it. Okay, help. It's the same thing. He's telling all of us, you're going to go to Jesus Christ someday. Yahushua Mashiach. He can come back tonight. And you're going to want to say, what they did. And he's going to say, what did I tell you? And a little kid goes, Mom, can I have some cereal after you pick up your room? Is a parent withholding food from the kid? Yeah. No. You do your job and I'll give you food. Sometimes we're not doing our job and we're not getting our food and we think that, I don't know what's going on. Are you doing your job? And I don't know what you've been called to do. Your parents don't know what you've been called to do. They might have an idea. Who knows? He's right inside you right now and he's testifying. And he goes, I know! Jesus Christ is inside you going, I know! You go, what do you want me to do? He goes, I want you to have that kid. I want you to teach that lesson. I want you to learn to sing. I want you to learn to read really, really well. I want you to learn to be quiet. That'd be a tough one for me. And look at these things and go, okay, that's what you want. That's going to be hard for me to keep my mouth shut. Then he goes, what do you want, Aaron? I want a wife. Okay. You do what I want you to do and I'll take care of your wife. Well, how are you going to do it, Aaron? Trust me, I know lots of chicks. Are you sure she'll meet all my needs? Aaron, if your brother-in-law, Billy, does he like you? Yeah, he likes me a lot. If I told him to go pick a girl, would he have an idea what you like? Yeah, I think so. He knows I like this height and this, and I like... Okay, do you think that I know less than Billy or more? You know more. That's right, Aaron. Do I know your heart's desires? Yeah. You know, Aaron, I know how to pick out chicks. Trust me. Oh, okay. He knows how to pick out jobs. He knows how to pick out cars. He knows how to pick out houses. And it's better than anything you've ever imagined. You ever seen a wealthy person? They have their whole empire and they look... This stinks. They usually commit suicide. They did everything they could to become satisfied and it didn't work. Yahweh has a God-shaped hole in all of us and it will never be fulfilled unless you fulfill your calling in Christ. All of us get an opportunity to stick obedience in that box. And then once we put the obedience in the box, he goes, give him a promotion. Another Harley Davidson. Another? I like giving like Billy Harleys. Why? I don't know. It's just me. You should see the look on his face when I give him a Harley. He gave me one Harley, I'll give you another Harley. He gave you one house on the beach in there, right? He'll give you another one.
I could give him another wife, though.
Could Donald Trump give me an airplane? Absolutely. What could Jesus Christ give me? Let's think about how wealthy our dad is. Is our dad wealthy, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, he pays for all the light bills, right? He owns the ocean. He owns the fish. He owns all the gold. He owns the oil that the Muslims are using. You say, hey, I'll tell you what. Why don't you give me some of that oil and I'll use it for you? We'll go back to Matthew. You guys turn back to math. Verse 18, this is what's neat. All of us are going to get this same thing when we go before Jesus Christ. It's going to happen to me too. All of us. We will be saved because we have salvation, but it's going to be the test. What did you do? Here's your test. Verse 18, Yehoshua Mashiach's going to say, you guys go to Matthew. This is John chapter 21, verse 18. After Peter goes, what did I tell you to do, Peter? What did I tell you to do, Peter? Peter, what did I tell you to do? You want fish? I'll give you fish. Want your bills paid? I'll pay your bills. Peter, what did I tell you? And he's telling all of us, what did I tell you? In verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is John, we'll go to Matthew in just a second. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were younger, when thou wast younger, thou used to gird thyself and to walk whether thou didst go. You went wherever you wanted to go. But when thou shalt become aged, thou shalt stretch out thy hands, and another shall gird thee and bear thee, whether thou dost not choose. He's going to ask you to go places you don't want to go. Sounds like Abraham. Now this, he said, signifying what manner of death. Did Jesus Christ want to die?
No.
Would he be rewarded for it?
Yeah.
He should glorify Yahweh. And having said this, he said unto him, be following me. All of us have done what Peter has done. And people might not even be able to see it. Our peers, this group of people, these believers, who I would take a bullet for any one of you, you guys don't know the talks that I've had with Jesus Christ. And you don't know some of the things He put on my table. You don't know about some of the things I am personally neglecting, maybe unintentionally. He does though. And Jesus Christ is even speaking to me right now going, Aaron, do you love me? Yes, you know all things. Then why aren't you doing what I said? What did I tell you to do? Come on, man. Come on, Aaron. And he goes, be following me. And all of us are to be following Him. All of us have a ministry. All of us have a calling. And it doesn't matter if we fulfill what our bosses or our family or our children or our parents. It could have an idea that Jesus Christ could say, hey, Chuck, go tell Aaron to clean up his act. And my dad might have a good idea to say, knock that off. Why? And then when he tells me to knock it off, my dad walks off. He goes, that was me, buddy. You better sit up. Oh, that was you? Yeah, that's right. So that can happen, but usually there's secrets in there. Matthew 4. Page 3. And this is what he's telling all of us. I used to look at Peter's situation leading the nets, and I would think that as a one-time occurrence, right? Did you guys ever feel like that sometime when you finally answered the call to your calling in your ministry? I used to think it was a one-time occurrence before today. That's what I used to think. Then I started reading through the scriptures, and guess what? You know what Yahweh was telling me? I'm asking you to do this every single day. You didn't pass the whole test. It's every day. Follow me. Well, look what I did. Here's Peter going, I left my father and my brothers and stuff. He goes, what did I tell you to do, Peter? We got to go over this again. Be following me. Verse 19, and he saith unto them. Who said this? Melania, why don't you read this with all your heart. 19 and 20. Jesus Christ talking to Peter and Andrew, his brother.
And he saith unto them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, leaving the nets, followed him.
And that's what he is doing with each one of us every single day. Do you love me? Do you love me? Then he's going to say, fulfill the calling that I put inside your heart. Inside you testifying right now, all of us. He's going to, do you love me? And what we're going to do, every once in a while, we're going to go back to those nets to meet our own needs. And maybe nobody else knows. Was anybody else reproving Peter? Sure didn't look like it. Looked like they all went fishing with him, right? And it's up to us each day when we've been walking away or neglecting something to drop the net. Get rid of the net. Why are you working 70 hours a week, Aaron? We're going to pay for these bills. I told you to take a day off of work, spend it with me to teach. I can't pay bills that way. Who pays your bills? You do. You're not going to get fired by being obedient. And so we thank you, Father, for all these words. We thank you for all of us. Just as an earthly father would dream over his kid or his animals or any kind of thing that has been raised up, we thank you that a parents would look at their child and have some dreams for them, see some abilities, see some strengths, see some callings. Maybe it's music or teaching or athletics, or maybe it's teaching or reading. And parents look at these children, they can see they have dreams. And some of the dreams are based off some of the abilities. And some of those dreams that the parents have for the children is because they don't want that kid to have regrets the rest of their life. Because they didn't even try. A godly mother and a father will encourage their children to stretch things and to exercise abilities. We thank you that you are our Father, Yahweh, and your Son is our Lord and Savior, and He talks to us. You guys talk to us every day. We thank you for helping us fulfill your calling and your dreams. We don't want regrets later on. Just as a son of a professional football player chose not to play football, didn't even try, he might regret that the rest of his life. We thank you that one day we're going to go before you. And we just thank you that if we pursue you each day, we're not going to have any regrets. This life is but a vapor; it'll be over. We thank you for the words we're about ready to hear, and we also thank you for helping us fulfill your dreams in our lives each day. My sons and my daughters know that I love you. I'm crazy about you. Even if, as you admire some of your work, I want you to know that I admire it even more. As a father who stands in a championship karate fight or a football game, who stands and says, that's my boy. I do that for each one of you every single day. I see your battles. I see things. But I see things much different than you do. Just as somebody might tune into SportsCenter, and SportsCenter is just going to cut out a lot of the garbage and give you highlights. I look at your life, and I look at your heart, and I see the things that are going on. And I want you to know that many of you are being way too hard on yourself. And if you're just obedient to me, come to me, come speak to me, talk to me, ask me things. I'll start building you up. And what do I always do when you come to me? I strengthen the peace. The peace area in your life, there's always a little bit of spot in there. I expand my borders that is inside your heart, and you have restored peace. I want you to know that this is my fingerprint. My fingerprint that I've been in an area of your life. Is the peace has grown. And I've encouraged you through peace. If you want to see my signature, my Hancock, my autograph on things you're supposed to do, look for my seal. Just as Donald Trump might write his name on something to say, this is Trump. I do the same things through you, through my scriptures and through peace. So get excited. Be very excited. Ask me about your dreams. Ask me about all your dreams. And start dreaming big. I didn't say just ask me about one thing. Get specific about it. What is this house that you want? This place? What color do you want it to be? What kind of shingles would you like? What kind of grass would you like? Okay, do you want a basement? A walkout basement? Do you want neighbors? No neighbors. Okay, do you want it in a field? Okay, do you want it to be a wild field? Or do you want it to be with plants and stuff? Okay, which direction do you want this house to be facing? Do you want the sunset at the back of your deck, or do you want to wake up to your sunset? You might say, I don't know, and I'll ask you, are you a morning person or a night person? I'm a morning person. Okay, then we want this to face east so you can see the sunrise. If you're a night person, I'm going to say, we want your deck to face, and we'll design these things together. And what happens is, as we start discussing and building these things, I start growing inside you and motivating you. And when I can talk about your dreams, I get the ball moving. And when I get the ball moving, my Father's will is done.